we believe that the Lord will bless it to our hearts. When Paul first gave me this scripture to share with you, what it is very, very, very important. I felt maybe that most of us would have read it over and over again, perhaps without taking too much notice of it. But then I realised something that probably you all noticed before me, and that is 7 times in these 9 verses we read of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so we're not just considering tonight a relationship between husband and wife and children and parents and servants and masters. You see, the top of my Bible, the heading at the top of this passage says, Rules for Christian Households. It's very, very important. And right the way through this passage, we see that the important thing is the Lordship of Christ within our households. But notice, it is Christian households. And that's most important. And so, let me come to that first verse. Wives, submit to your husbands. I'm pretty sure, because you'll realise I'm not using the King James, the AV. But I'm pretty sure that in that translation, it is your own husband. The husband is the head of the wife. If we just go back to Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians and chapter 5. And in verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. And so, there is that wonderful relationship with Christ for those of us who are his. The bride with the bridegroom. And that same relationship, or rather we should follow that pattern and that example in our relationship with each other as husband and wife. It's very, very important in these days that we should remind ourselves of these things. Adam was created first. The woman was created for the man. And remember, it was one woman. Only one woman created for one man. One man, one woman. May I say, though I'm sure it's not necessary here, it's a man for a woman, and not a man for a man or a woman for a woman. Let's also remind ourselves that marriage is of the Lord, and it is scriptural. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry, but since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. One husband and one wife. One man and one woman, as is fitting in the Lord. Now this is so important. When we see this heading at the top of this page, it's rules for Christian households. For Christian households. We can know nothing of reaching this standard which is set out for us if there is an unequal yoke. We cannot please each other and the Lord if there is an unequal yoke. I was hoping we were going to have a row of young people here tonight. And how important that is to them. The unequal yoke. And so, on the part of both parties, there must be submission to Christ. Not only the wife to the husband, but submission to Christ in that Christian home. Obedience to Christ within the marriage. A working together as is fitting in the Lord, as the scripture says here. So the marriage, we got the standard, we're told the details, the husband is the head, the wife must be submissive, the husband must love the wife, and we must be in the Lord. What a wonderful standard that is. Let me move on. Because in verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Do you see it coming through? Pleasing the Lord. All the time. Seven times in these nine verses. Putting the Lord first. Pleasing him. He must be the first consideration. The lordship of Christ within a marriage. Now we read of obedience on the part of children. Because, as I've just read, this pleases the Lord. Remember the commandment? I'm sure we do. Many people don't. Out of fashion today, no need for them any longer. What a different place the world would be if the commandments were followed. But you remember Exodus 20 and 12, honour your father and your mother. Until what age? Now that's a leading question, isn't it? We're not told. We're not told. But there should always, surely, be response of love towards loving parents, whatever the age. There should be that relationship. Fathers, as we read here, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Fathers should guide their children in the Lord's will. This is what this passage is all about. To bring glory to the name of the Lord. We should guide the children in the Lord's will and love. Definite standards. Based on the scripture. Firm guidance. And by example. It's no good to be one thing when we're mixing with the Lord's people, with our brothers and sisters, and a different person in the home with our children. And then finally tonight, we have the longest part of this passage, starting at verse 22. Employees and employers. In verse 22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Is that always easy? Is that easy for the Christian? As I've read this and considered it, and I know it's very easy for me to say this. I've always been self-employed. And it's very easy for me to say this. But I do believe that in order to be faithful in this scripture, to please the Lord as we are employees or employers, that employees must be careful to choose the right job so that being obedient to their employer, what they do is pleasing to the Lord. I can see no other answer for it. Because the whole passage says, rules for the Christian household, pleasing the Lord 7 times in 9 verses, that should be our main concern. Serve with all your heart, whether the boss is looking or not. That's what it says. With reverence to the Lord. Look at verse 24. We'll read verse 23 and read into it. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. Not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I'm going to ask you a question. Well, are you past retirement age? However old you might be. Are you in full-time Christian work? No, I'm not asking you if you get paid for what you do. That's not what I'm asking you. You see, everyone who is a born-again Christian should be in full-time work for the Lord. In everything that we do, we should be serving Him. When we're serving an earthly master, our priority, according to this, and I believe it's absolutely correct, should be to the Lord. That's why we have to be careful what our job is. All believers are called upon to be serving the Lord first and foremost as we serve other people in our daily work. He must come first. Not only will we receive a wage or a salary, or those whom we serve upon earth, but their reward is going to be much greater than that. Much greater. In chapter 4 and verse 1, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. And so it's not one-sided, it's two-sided. The employer should be careful how he treats the employee in order that glory might come to the Lord. You see, in verse 24 we read we do not read there of our weekly or monthly or annual salary. We read of an inheritance. You know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. This is the most important reward for our work. We have a master who knows all things. And there will be a reward for us. Let's just go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. A believer does not appear before the judgment seat of God regarding our sins. That question has been dealt with. The Lord Jesus has borne those sins, and we have trusted him for our salvation, for our forgiveness. But we do have to give an account of how we've served him whilst here upon earth. Let's just go to Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians and in chapter 6 and verse 9. We will read, verse 9. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. Here we have the position of a Christian employee and a Christian employer. We have the same master, and he is in heaven. And remember that our inheritance is reserved where for us? In heaven. And that's where our Lord is. He is in heaven, caring for us. It can never fade away or spoil, the scripture tells us. A great inheritance. Finally tonight, let me point you to James and what he says. James and chapter 5 and verse 1. Here is a warning to those who are rich, those employers who do not treat their employees as they should. Now listen, I'm in verse 1 of James 5. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. What a challenge these scriptures are. Whether it's between husband and wife, there must be reverence. And we must remember who was first. And just as there is that wonderful relationship between Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride, so that is a pattern for us. Love between the two, to bring glory to the Lord, that which is pleasing to him. And though it may not affect us, as I look over this congregation tonight, as far as bringing children up, how important it is, that relationship between children and parents and the example that is set. And of course, it's the same in the church. We should be careful to set the examples in order that the glory might come to the Lord. And in all of our relationships with other people, all the time, what we do must be to the glory of the Lord. May God bless this word to our hearts.